Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live on Football Full Circle in the middle of your week. It is a hump day Wednesday here on FFC. I am Ben Stevens alongside the mastermind of the pigskin in Joe Lisi. We are just over 30 hours away, my friend, from the official start of week one of the college football season. We have ranked teams in action tomorrow night on a Thursday night, Joe. We have games on Thursday. We have college football games on Friday. We, of course, have college football games for a full Saturday slate to begin the weekend. We have games on Sunday. We have games on Monday. We have 5 straight days of college football, Joe, that start tomorrow. It is an exciting time to be a fan of football, both in college and in the NFL as well.
Oh, buckle up, baby. This is what it's all about. The season is officially underway, Ben. And you mentioned it, those 2 games tomorrow night, the backyard brawl, Keaton Slovis, Pitt's quarterback coming out. He's abusing the West Virginia faithful. How is that going to matter in terms of the spread perspective? Could West Virginia potentially be a live dog in that matchup? And then the battle in West Lafayette, it's going to be a blackout for Aiden O'Connell and Purdue. And it's going to be a whiteout on the other side with Penn State and all white. So can't wait to see how these games play out in less than about 24 hours.
Joe, Penn State is not ranked right now. The Nittany Lions receiving votes in the only AP preseason top 25 poll that we have. However, I believe the Nittany Lions will be ranked within the top 10, potentially top 15 by the end of this season. I have faith in James Franklin finally figuring it out in 2022. Not finally, before 2020. James Franklin won 11 football games in 3 of 4 seasons before that weird 2020 campaign. All right, Joe, before we get into college football, we'll preview everything for Thursday and Friday over the course of the next 2 days. Let's check in with the National Football League. As we discussed all day on the show yesterday, a big day in the NFL, cut day around the league, trimming your rosters down to just 53 players. It's a difficult day. These guys, this is their livelihood. These are their jobs. People that are trying to make an earning wage have their livelihoods changed yesterday. So we take that into account when we discuss these transactions that happened across the league. And one of the more surprising ones, Joe, I thought, the Houston Texans, who have the lowest win total on the board of only 4.5 wins for 2022, getting rid of veteran running back in Marlon Mack, waiving him, and all the focus now is on the rookie running back out of Florida, Damian Pierce. He will be the lead runner in that running back room for the Texans moving forward. And Joe, we saw immediate market movement then on Damian Pierce's odds to win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. He was 14-1 before the move to cut Marlon Mack. He is now 11-1, tied for the 3rd best price on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
He is, and I understand the movement because he's going to be the starting running back, but I think we need to pump the brakes in terms of all the love and the hype surrounding, you know, Pierce as being a potential 1,000-yard rusher. That offensive line last year in Houston was absolutely atrocious. They averaged less than 100 rushing yards per game. I know he's had a dynamic preseason, and he did it in games Gainesville for Florida. But at the end of the day, I think it's still a one-dimensional offense. I think he can be in the league 2 or 3 years. But Marlon Mack was a player with Indianapolis, a third down back utilized in terms of versatility. Now he moves on. I expect him to catch on with a potential team, just the way Kenyon Drake is now potentially signed with the Ravens. So we'll see how it plays out. I think when you look at Houston overall, they have bigger shoes to fill than the rookie of the year in terms of Dameon Pierce. They need to get to wins and losses. They need to get over the hump of 4.5. And at the end of the day, it hinges on Davis Mills and, more importantly, that front seven, which they still haven't addressed in the offseason.
Yeah, it's a young backfield for the Houston Texans. If there is to be some optimism, it might be in the young signal caller in Davis Mills, a third-round draft pick 2 seasons ago, and now Dameon Pierce, who was sensational in the preseason, Joe. 5 carries, 49 yards in the opener for the Houston Texans against the New Orleans Saints. Didn't play week 2 of the preseason, finished it off in the finale. A perfect preseason, by the way, for the Texans, who went 3-0. And in that week 3 finale, Dameon Pierce just one drive. Maybe they knew he was going to be that starting running back moving forward, but 6 carries for 37 yards and a touchdown against the San Francisco 49ers. Joe, we also saw Sony Michel cut yesterday. He is now going to be a hot commodity around the league as people try to add to the running back room, but it goes to speak to the fact that a rookie running back like Dameon Pierce has a lot more value than even guys entering their 4th or 5th year. They're not old by any means. They're not really veterans by any means, but their shelf life as a running back in the NFL is short-lived.
Yeah, the make it or break it for a running back to potentially be in the league over 4 years, pass blocking and the ability to catch the football out of the backfield. Other than that, you're going to see a recycling of these players every 2 to 3 years, Ben. So we'll see how it plays out for Dameon Pierce, a dynamic talent for the Houston Texans.
And we'll continue to break down a little bit more of what we saw yesterday on Cut Day in the National Football League before we turn our attention to college football. Week 1 starts tomorrow. We are fired up here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on Football Full Circle. A big day in the National Football League yesterday, Joe, but it pretty much closes out training camp, and now the focus is on week 1 of the regular season. 8 days away from the 2022 NFL season opener in Los Angeles, where we ended last year at SoFi Stadium, the site of Super Bowl 56. The Rams played in their home arena. They won on their home floor, and they have been the Super Bowl champions all offseason long, looking to start their path to a title defense against the 2022 Super Bowl preseason favorites in the Buffalo Bills. +600, that price on Buffalo this time around. And the optimism, Joe, follows the Bills everywhere they go. They're the favorites to win the AFC East in a minus money manner. They are the favorites to win the AFC, the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Their quarterback in Josh Allen is the favorite to win the NFL MVP, and Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite on the road in LA a week from tomorrow to start the 2022 National Football League season. So, all of the optimism continuing to follow Buffalo, Joe. Now that we're about to get to when it actually matters, when Buffalo will have the opportunity on the actual gridiron to prove themselves, do you think the optimism will be met with the results for the Bills this upcoming season?
I do. And I think they're the most complete offensive and defensive lines in the AFC, and at the end of the day, potentially all of the NFL. I think they're physical at the point of attack. They have enough bodies on the defensive side that they can rotate in to have fresh legs in there at all times. And I don't think they will break down during critical junctures. The biggest thing for the offense right now, can they get more running backs involved? They draft James Cook. Can he be utilized in the short to intermediate passing game? If so, that's another weapon for Josh Allen. You can mismatch that in terms of linebackers and nickelbacks. They're going to be very difficult to defend from a defensive perspective, especially when you have a trigger man in Josh Allen that puts pressure on the perimeter on almost every play and every drive for that matter. So we'll see how this offense evolves. I'm not worried about week 1, whether they win it or lose it. To me, it's not a gauge whether or not they're a contender. To me, I think they're going to be there in the end. I think this is a 13 or a 14 14-win football team this year. I think they'll erase any doubt and potentially get to the championship game. Once they get there, then we'll see if they can get over the hump. But I think they're built right for the long haul, and that's all that matters to me right now.
It's always an interesting conversation, Joe. Whatever pro sport you follow, whatever sport in general, you can make the argument in college at times, certainly by the time you get to the postseason. Teams that have perennial regular season success, and Buffalo has won double-digit games each of the past 3 years, but until you knock off the man to become the man, are you expected to be that man? Now, Buffalo gets to the postseason. More likely than not, Joe, they are going to be the number one seed in the AFC. Why do I say that? Well, they're minus 220 to win the AFC East Division, one of the weaker ones in that side of the conference, because the AFC is going to be a gauntlet this year. We know the AFC West is going to be the most competitive division in football with the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders. The AFC North has taken a hit, certainly. The Cleveland Browns are not going to be anywhere near what we expected entering 2022, but it's still the Ravens and the Bengals. We're not sure who's going to win that divisional championship at the moment. The AFC South, not all that difficult, but it's going to be a toss up for the top spot, I believe, between the Colts and the Titans. Pretty much it's Buffalo with the best odds of any team to win any division in the AFC. Thus, through that correlation, Joe, they should be the number one overall seed in the AFC. Once they get to that point, if they have home field advantage in Western New York in January, you would think their path to an AFC championship game is good, and to win that AFC championship game at home to get to the Super Bowl. That's the barometer now for Buffalo. Not a playoff team, not a team that wins 12 or 13 games, is to be a Super Bowl team because they are the Super Bowl favorites, and that's really when push will come to shove, Lisi, in my opinion, on Buffalo and their expectations for the 2022 campaign.
Right, and think about the last two Super Bowl winners, right? Tampa Bay and L.A., they did it in the interior. The ability to run the football, protect both Tom Brady and Matt Stafford, and shut down the run and get quarterback pressures. And that's exactly how Buffalo was built. And as long as Josh Allen stays healthy and develops with Gabriel Davis and Diggs and those playmakers like Dawson Knox as well, they're going to be there. They are good. There's no doubt that Buffalo will be at least fighting for the number one seed in terms of the AFC. Now, if they face, in my opinion, Kansas City or whoever out of the West in Buffalo in January, they're going to win that matchup. Just from a weather perspective, the ability for that defense to be physical, force turnovers, they have it. They just have to keep the intensity. That's the one thing that Kansas City, I think, lacked over the past couple of years after they won their first Super Bowl. They thought they could turn it on and turn it off at any given moment, and that's where you realize once you get punched in the face that this is in fact the NFL and you need to bring it each and every Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And that will be the true test for Buffalo this year. And we will see it at that point. The Bills and the Bucks, minus 750 to make the playoffs, the best odds of any team across the entire National Football League. Again, that's not the expectation anymore for Buffalo. That level of expectation, the ceiling for this Bills team has raised by a ton the last few years over there in Western New York. Joe, a couple of great divisional battles that opening week of the NFL season, which is just about a week and a half away. 8 days until that opener, 11 days until that first Sunday of the NFL season. One that certainly catches my eye will be within the AFC West. It's the Chargers and the Raiders in Los Angeles. LA booked as a 3.5-point home, if you want to call it that, favorite, although we're going to see tons of black and silver in that crowd in SoFi, and it's a total of 52.5. Lisi, I bring up this game specifically because we have been big time on the Raiders this offseason. Do not overlook Las Vegas. They have tons of value in the market. Now we go from the big picture futures discussion to a specific individual game scenario. The Raiders are getting 3.5 on the road in LA. Do you think there is value on Las Vegas in that scenario against the Bolts?
I do. Now, this is the same spread as it was week number 4 when they played on Monday night. Both teams, I think, were 3-1 entering that matchup. L.A. was a 3-point favorite and won by 14 points, but Las Vegas won the regular season finale at home. They abused them, and we got on Staley, or at least
that was
I did.
Tie game.
Should have rolled,
right.
He should have rolled the dice and went for two to put the kill shot into the Raiders when he had them on the ropes. Didn't do it, and then Derek Carr made him pay. So, at the end of the day, I think the Raiders, to me, have a better defense. Max Crosby, Chandler Jones, I like what they did in terms of the secondary perspective. I think they're going to be more physical. I think Josh McDaniels, even though it's his second stint, is a better head coach than where Staley is in year number two. So for me, you want to give me the best team on the board right here out of both of these teams with the best wide receiver, the best quarterback in terms of if we're judging. I think Carr is just as good as Herbert. I'll take the 3.5 points on the road. I think they'll win the ball game outright.
All right, Lisey, quickly here. Your team, the Miami Dolphins, in another great divisional game, opening up the season like they did last year in 2021 against the New England Patriots. Miami booked as a 2.5-point favorite at home. Anything under that field goal number, Joe, expected to be a close game. How do you break down that matchup between Miami and New England?
Again, a rematch of last year. Miami got the victory 17-16. But here's the thing that's fishy. Bill Belichick kills rookie head coaches, right? Mike McDaniel, a rookie head coach. We know Tyreek Hill is there. It's like they're sucking you to take New England in this matchup. And I'm torn because I want to go with the trend, but then this line looks fishy to me. But I'm going to take the points. I want to be proven wrong in terms of McDaniel stepping up in his first game as a head coach against the best head coach that we have seen modern day, just like Nick Saban in college. I'll take Belichick. Even though I hate Patricia and Judge, I think Belichick is good enough to outduel Mike McDaniel in this matchup.
You want Joe Judge around any offensive scheme? I'm not exactly sure what you're thinking, but who are we to question Bill Belichick at this point? And obviously what he has done throughout his Hall of Fame career as an NFL head coach. It's year number three for Tua Tagovailoa. It will come off to a big start in that matchup against New England. Two teams, Joe, in the Finns and the Patriots, that have very similar outlooks, at least according to the odds this year. Both with a win total of 8.5. Both with similar odds to make the postseason. We go to college football, though, next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, what a time it is here on Football Full Circle. I could not be more juiced up. Actually, that's a lie. I'll be more juiced up tomorrow on game day for game week number one of college football. We had week zero last week, and I don't discredit week zero because I love when college football returns. But it's a small sample, Joe. It's an appetizer for the entree, the entire darn buffet that we will have starting tomorrow for five straight days of college football. Five straight days, Joe, of college football. I don't know when we can ever say that, except maybe in like the late November stretch where we have games that start in the action on Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe a Thursday game if we work in a Friday game and Saturday. But this is the glorious run that starts tomorrow, week number one, all across the country in college football. College football, Joe, if it wasn't already, is officially back.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, and the pageantry, the tradition, the landscapes across the East Coast, you know, to the West Coast, and late night action in Corvallis this coming Saturday. This is what it's all about. I mean, we go full throttle ahead. You want to talk top 25 games, best games potentially of the year? They happen in the first 3 weeks of the college football season. So buckle up. There's going to be upsets along the way. This is what it's all about. Make it or break it time. Which team could jockey and maybe potentially catapult into the top five? I mean, this is really the best time of the year, Ben.
It is really the best time of the year. And Joe, college football is many things to many of us. But maybe first and foremost for many, it is about history. It is about tradition. It is about long-standing rivalries. And I am so excited for the opener tomorrow night. The backyard brawl between West Virginia and Pittsburgh. Back into our lives for the first time in more than a decade. Joe, they played pretty much every single year, not dealing with some of the world wars in the first part of the 1900s. They played pretty much every single year, did Pittsburgh and West Virginia, starting in 1895, pretty much every single season, all the way up until 2011, and then because of conference realignment, both teams leaving the Big East, it was taken from us for more than 10 years. But for the first time since 2011, Joe, the backyard brawl is back to start off week one on a Thursday night. And we have seen the line work in favor of the Panthers now at 7.5 past a touchdown against West Virginia. The total, Joe, is fluctuating in the low 50s. It was 52.5. It came down to 50 and a hook. Now it's 51.5. How do you break down this matchup between the Mountaineers and the Panthers?
Well, we have two USC quarterbacks, right? And I think it goes down to the ability to run the football and stop the run. And that's why I favor Pittsburgh in this matchup. Pittsburgh allowed only 89 rushing yards per game last year, recorded over 50 sacks. They have seven starters coming back on the defensive side of the ball and an offense of West Virginia that was completely one-dimensional. I brought it up last night. You know, 3 years ago, when Neil Brown got to West Virginia, they ranked 128th out of 130 teams in terms of running the football at 88 yards per game. They got it back up over a buck 50 in year number two with Letty Brown. And then last year, they had 7 of 13 games under 100. They lost all seven games, Ben, by 12.6 points per game. They were put into long third downs that put pressure on Jared Daigie and, more importantly, the offensive line, and they could not convert in critical matchups. Now here comes JT Daniels. Can they run the football? I'm not so sure. I know they have four starters coming back on the offensive line, but just because they played last year doesn't mean they're going to be consistent and gel early on in this week one matchup. So that's a concern for me. I break it down twofold. If we're looking at the quarterbacks, I favor Slovis over JT Daniels that hasn't stepped up in a big spot in his career, okay, at USC and Georgia. So that's why I favor Pitt. But the fact that we're now inching up to 8, 8.5, 9, I don't know if all Pitt is worth that much, but I still lean to Pittsburgh laying the wood here. I'm sitting on a -6.5 ticket and under 51.5 in this ballgame.
You see, 2020, again, was a very weird year in college football, right? But one thing we knew about West Virginia was the Stills brothers up front in that defense, and that was going to carry the Mountaineers. And they were a top-five defense in 2020, only giving up just about 300 yards per game in terms of their total defense and the yardage allowed to their opponents. Last year, it dropped all the way down to 48th, giving up more than 341 yards per game. That is a big way for West Virginia to keep this game close. But you're right, we need to see that progression under Neil Brown with the offense, and who at least on paper is a talented quarterback in JT Daniels, though, Joe, although this is his third stop in his collegiate career. And there is a lot of prospect and a lot of hype, but when will the results actually stack it up on a consistent basis for JT Daniels? Because the interesting thing, Joe, about the Backyard Brawl returning to our lives in more than a decade, it's a matchup of two former USC quarterbacks who were on the same team together back in 2019 in Southern California when Keaton Slovis took over for the young JT Daniels after he was sidelined for the rest of the year. Keaton Slovis, now the starter for Pitt. JT Daniels, of course, the starter for West Virginia. At a pregame pep rally, Joe, for Pittsburgh last night, Keaton Slovis comes back onto stage, grabs the mic one final time and says, "I just have one more thing to say. F West Virginia." I wonder how Mountaineer fans are going to feel about that. I wonder how West Virginia is going to utilize that ahead of the matchup tomorrow. I love it. It's bulletin board material for sure. It's a clip they have seen on social media almost certainly, but it is the beautiful thing about the pageantry of these long-standing rivalries, so I really don't have an issue with it.
Well, as a head coach, I would have an issue with it, especially a kid that hasn't played one game under center in terms of Pittsburgh. That would be a concern. He better step up, Keaton Slovis, and now we have a new coordinator and Frank Cignetti Jr., right, comes from the Steelers, takes over for Whipple. If I'm Cignetti, I want to get Keaton Slovis into a rhythm early. You know what? You want to open your mouth? Now you got to back it up with your play. We're not going to run the football. We're trying to get you involved to make up for that statement that you gave our tribal bulletin board material, right? I'm not sold on Neil Brown. He came with a lot of fanfare. I think he's still a good head coach, but he's one game under 500. And if you look at last year in terms of some of his coaching decisions, Ben, go back to that game where they had a double-digit lead at home against Vatek. He almost blew that game because he got conservative. I need to see him change. Now, if we're talking head coaches, I give the edge to Narduzzi. I give the defense to Narduzzi and Pittsburgh, and that's what I'm leaning on. It's going to be a blue-collar game. Give me the more physical defense and the better head coach in this matchup. I don't like laying 7.5, 8, but I still would do it with Pittsburgh in this ballgame.
This is Neil Brown's now fourth year at West Virginia. Had 4 years at Troy where he was great. Led the Trojans to three straight bowl game appearances and bowl victories from 2016 to 2018. It is different now, though, in West Virginia. The most wins he's ever had in a regular season, 6 last year, and it was a loss in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl to end out the year. That is where Neil Brown and West Virginia stand entering this season. Looking at their win total one final time before we get underway, it's 5.5, Lisi. The over has the juice at minus 120, but that's right on the cusp of bowl eligibility. Pittsburgh, of course, the reigning ACC champions, Joe, the second best odds to win the Coastal in the preseason. Their win total is 7.5. The over has the juice at minus 190. That's almost a guarantee for at least 8 wins, and Pitt, the fourth best price to win the ACC now at 10-1. Clemson is the odds-on favorite at minus 150. All right, Joe, let's continue going across that Thursday landscape tomorrow in college football. We will break all of these games down again tomorrow, and we'll preview a ton tomorrow. But another ranked team. Pittsburgh's ranked 17th in the country. Oklahoma State is ranked 15th in the country. The Cowboys host Central Michigan, Joe, and this line is now more than 3 touchdowns. 22.5 in favor of the Pokes at home against CMU, a team out of the MAC. Joe, we know why Oklahoma State was successful a season ago. A top 10 defensive unit in both scoring and in total defense. They were dominant through most of the Big 12 schedule, but it's a new defensive coordinator. Jim Knowles now coaches for OSU, but not Oklahoma State, Ohio State. Derek Mason comes over from Auburn to lead that defensive staff for the Cowboys. Joe, if Oklahoma State is to have success once again in 2022, will it be that defense leading the way once more?
That's one part. The other part is their quarterback, Spencer Sanders, right? He started out slow last year, came on in the bowl game against Notre Dame, 4 touchdowns. He only threw 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. But in the biggest games on the national stage against Oklahoma and Notre Dame, he stepped up his game. So as long as he can do that this year in the early part of the season, I think they're going to be there. I think they are the team to beat in the Big 12. I think the defense will be there. I'm not expecting a complete regression with Derek Mason in there. They had 56 total sacks, Ben, 4 per game last year. Top ranked in terms of statistical third down defense. They get 6 starters coming back. I think they're right there in terms of a defensive perspective. I need to see the offensive line develop. I think when we look at this game with Lou Nichols in Central Michigan and McElwain, they're going to try and challenge that front 7 of Oklahoma State. It's going to be very difficult. They can run sideline to sideline. I like Oklahoma State. Remember, they lost a week 1 matchup on a last play years ago, about 5-6 years ago, in one of the Hail Marys of the century under Mike Gundy that year. So I think it's going to be bulletin board material for Oklahoma State to be focused. This line opened up at 20.5. It's inched up over 22. I would still lay it in Stillwater. Not going to be easy. I think they might start slow, but in the end, I think they cover this number.
Oklahoma State, Joe, the second best cover team in the country. 10-3-1 against the spread last season. The only team that was better from a cover percentage standpoint, Michigan, who was 11-3 against the spread. It's a big number. Lou Nichols was the leading running back in the country a season ago from a yardage perspective. Oklahoma State will have its defense tested early on, but they're laying 22.5 for a reason. Much more around the Thursday night slate in college football up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's continue breaking down the first Thursday night slate of week number 1 of the college football season. Yes, week 0 was fantastic. We saw a couple of gems out there. The Dublin debacle between Nebraska and Northwestern. How hot is that seat in Lincoln, Nebraska for Scott Frost? Scorching is one word I would use to describe. We saw Vanderbilt be the top offense in the country and currently still is, putting up 63 points against Hawaii. But Joe, that's a small sample size. Now the entire nation of college football gets started this weekend. And it starts tomorrow, and then we have CFP for five straight days. Let's continue looking around that Thursday night slate. Two ranked teams in action, like we mentioned, Oklahoma State, 12th in the country, hosting Central Michigan, a 22.5-point favorite. Number 17, Pittsburgh, laying more than a touchdown now, 7.5 in the return of the backyard brawl against West Virginia. Elsewhere, though, Joe, a really good Big Ten season opener between Penn State and Purdue in West Lafayette. The early line had the Nittany Lions favored by 3. The hook has been added on. It is now 3.5 in favor of Penn State as they visit the Boilermakers. Is it too much, Joe, in favor of Penn State? Or can the Nittany Lions go on the road and get a big win to start off their 2022 season?
Well, I think they can. They did it last year to start the year as a 4.5-point dog in Madison, Wisconsin against Christian and Wisconsin in that ball game. Second half adjustments. Yep. The defense stepped up. This is a different offensive animal, obviously, with Aiden O'Connell and Purdue. That's going to stress or at least attempt to stress Joey Porter in that secondary. Now, I think when you look at this matchup, I think it still comes down to the physicality of the Penn State front seven. I don't know if Purdue's going to be able to run the football effectively to stay in manageable third down situations, and this game could be maybe a mirror image, I hate to say it, of the Ohio State-Purdue game where Ohio State boat raced them, and people might think I'm crazy, but I think the Penn State's going to have great success running the football on the front seven of Purdue. I know it's a tricky line, it's 3.5, but I still like Penn State in the spot. I think James Franklin is a very good coach, he's a great motivator, and the biggest thing is, in terms of preparation, for 6 months, I like Franklin over Brom. That's not to knock on Brom, but Brom, in my opinion, a little more inconsistent than James Franklin. Franklin always has his teams prepared offense and defensive lines. They have Singleton and Braylon Allen, Allen, the redshirt freshman that came on. He's been tearing up camp for Penn State. I think they have fresh legs, and I like Clifford in this matchup. The biggest thing I think when you look at Purdue right now, offensive line is going to be a concern going up against the front seven, and now without all of his offensive playmakers, right, outside the tight end, I think Aiden O'Connell is going to struggle up against that secondary. So sometimes your best defense is running the football to neutralize a high-powered offense, and I think that's what Penn State does. I think they win by double digits.
You're talking about a really deep Penn State backfield, in my opinion, too, with Kevon Lee, who's the sophomore who came on so strong last year. You have Katron Allen, Joe, who's the freshman that you were mentioning. That's an incredibly talented player that has turned so many heads throughout training camp as well for the Nittany Lions. I think they're going to have one of the deeper backfields in all of the Big Ten Conference this year, in a conference that knows all about running the football. As we look last year at Penn State's success on the ground, what will be very interesting, Joe, is that we know that Sean Clifford can run the football. And Penn State last year was a bottom 20 rushing offense in all of college football, only averaging 110 yards per game. But I think that will be more of a focal point this season. Because when you look at that offensive system, of course you have Mike Yurcich still there as the offensive coordinator. It's his second year working with Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford has seen so much change at that OC spot. It was Yurcich coming over last year who was replacing Kirk Ciarrocca, who came over from Minnesota, who is back now with the Golden Gophers. But he was supposed to be the guy after 2019 and leading the Gophers to all the success we saw with Tanner Morgan and Tyler Johnson and Rashad Bateman and Mohammed Ibrahim. So it's been a changing staff for Sean Clifford. I think having that consistency, Joe, for a guy that's looking for that consistency finally at the quarterback position, you would hope this is the Mike Yurcich offense that can be incorporated around Sean Clifford. My only hesitation is Yurcich is more known for having a pro-style quarterback, at least not quite the dual threat that Sean Clifford is. It's RPO action, as we saw with Yurcich during his time as the QB's coach in Ohio State, but I think that hopefully can lead to some dividends this year for Penn State. I'm just not as high on Purdue as a lot of people are with Aiden O'Connell returning this year. Again, we talked about it yesterday. Aiden O'Connell has set records now at the quarterback position at Purdue, where the illustrious alumni in the history of Boilermaker football is long. Drew Brees, Kyle Orton, some really standout names, obviously, in terms of that quarterback spot. I just think there's an opportunity now for Penn State to have a very successful season. Speaking of running the football, Joe, speaking of the Big Ten Conference, Minnesota, a 37.5 point favorite tomorrow night, 36.5, excuse me, at home against New Mexico State. The Aggies on a very short week, Joe, because they were in action on Saturday, week zero, taking on Nevada. They were an 8.5 point underdog. Nevada covered that number. Now they're getting 36.5 on the road in Minneapolis against the Golden Gophers tomorrow night. If you want to talk about running the football, that is what PJ Fleck and company are going to do in 2022.
And I wasn't impressed with New Mexico's offense. Now, they put up 12 points against that defense in Nevada last week and didn't move the football in the fourth quarter. But I'll tell you this. I mean, we're talking a front seven in Minnesota that held opposing offenses to 95 yards per game last year. That was statistically top 10. They only gave up 181 passing yards in terms of the secondary. Again, top 10 in all FBS. Forget just Big Ten. And you have an experienced quarterback in Tanner Morgan. And coupled with the fact that Minnesota lost to Bowling Green last year, an under-the-radar team, that really cost them a 10-win season last year. They lost that ballgame, I think, 14-10 or 13-10. I think Fleck has this crew ready. Even though New Mexico State played last week and played okay in that ballgame, 12 points, Frocks, the redshirt freshman, to me, he looked inconsistent. I might lay the 36.5 because I think they're going to run the football at will. That's what Nevada was able to do in that ballgame. I think Minnesota rolls here and moves to 1-0. I might lay the 36.5 in this ballgame.
Minnesota, the fifth best scoring defense in all the country last year, only allowing about 17 points per game. They were even better, Joe, from a total defensive perspective in terms of what they were able to do. The second best in the country, according to the numbers, only behind Wisconsin, in front of even Georgia and Oklahoma State. My question for the Gophers last year, Joe, entering 2021, was that defense so young in 2020 and they got gashed? Well, that experience of learning through actual gameplay paid off this past year for Minnesota. Joe Russi, the defensive coordinator there in the Twin Cities under PJ Fleck. I think they are going to play that way again. They lose Boye Mafe, who was one of the leaders of that defense, but there is a lot back for Minnesota, and we know they're going to run the football. Joe, the service academies, Navy, Army, Air Force, they run the triple option. Of course, they run the football on 88%+ of their plays. Minnesota had the second highest rushing play percentage in all of the country last year. Excuse me, I'm saying that incorrectly. They had the highest outside of the service academies in 2021. They ran the ball, Joe, did the Gophers, on 68.2% of their plays. They're going to do that last year, or this year, too. Mohamed Ibrahim is back, recovering from that torn Achilles. Hopefully he is healthy. But whether it was Mohamed Ibrahim or Trayson Potts who filled in, or even people further down the depth chart, because Minnesota was devastated by injuries in their running back room, they still ran the football, and they still had tons of success running the football. I'm looking at a Minnesota team total. I'm looking at a New Mexico State team total under when that becomes available. It's a 36.5 point spread, Joe, with a total that's 52.5. You have to estimate that's probably around 10.5 for New Mexico State. I think the Golden Gophers defense can keep them to single digits.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's the one thing. I think PJ in this ballgame relies on the heavy offensive line. That's what they have, physical football. They want to run it down your throat, stay in manageable third downs with Tanner Morgan. Tanner Morgan only had 10 touchdowns last year. Think about that. So he played well within the scheme. Minnesota's great when they dictate tempo, get out ahead of the change, wear you down in the fourth quarter, and rely on that front seven. They struggle when they get, obviously, a double-digit deficit, and they become completely one-dimensional, and then it falls on Tanner Morgan. So in this type of ball game where, you know, you're playing a mediocre opponent, a group of five type of play, team in New Mexico State. You want to wear them down. I will say this, though, Ben. If you want just an under-the-radar type of stat, or just keep your eye on it, it is Jerry Kill, right? That the former coach in of Minnesota. That would be the only thing that when we look at the big spread, you know, that you say maybe he tries to cover because he's going to want this game a little bit more. But I think Minnesota is one of the best teams in the West. I can't do it in this type of situation or scenario.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. All right, let's go around the country now in college football, Joe. That Thursday night slate tomorrow. There's a really good game, in my opinion, where we might be able to see some offensive fireworks out of Tennessee. The Volunteers, tomorrow night at home on Rocky Top, hosting Ball State. They're a 35.5 point favorite. The total is 67.5. Lisi, I'm going to be a believer in Tennessee team total overs to start off the college football season. That is how I feel.
Yeah, I'm with you with Hendon Hooker, but this game, it just, I would take the points here. I know early on I was leaning to Tennessee, but Ball State has an offense that they want to run the football. They want to sustain drives. That's their best recipe. They win ball games when, obviously, they convert on third down. They're very physical at the point of attack. Not a bad defense overall, and they play well. I would take the points here. I think Tennessee does, in fact, win. They have a week two game with Pittsburgh, but even though it's in Neyland Stadium in Rocky Top, I think this is a game where Ball State, being a MAC opponent, could keep it close because I think they'll run so many plays that eventually Tennessee's defense will be out there for an extended period of time. So keep an eye out for that. I'm taking Ball State with the points here.
I like the look. 35.5 is a very large spread. All right, Joe. Missouri, La Tech. Mizzou is a 20.5 point favorite tomorrow night against Louisiana Tech. Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach for Missouri, has told the student populace, don't go to class on Friday. Give it all that you have on Thursday night in Columbia. Will it be enough, Joe, for the Tigers to cover a 3-touchdown spread?
You know, I don't think it is. Sonny Cumbie did a fantastic job at Texas Tech, not just offensively, took them to a bowl game against Miss State, and they won the bowl game by 20-plus over Mike Leach with Donovan Smith. I like La Tech. I think the only reason why you're seeing this line up at 20.5 is Skip Holtz is no longer the coach. You have a new head coach in Sonny Cumbie, and you have an SEC opponent. Outside of that, Missouri's defense absolutely was atrocious last year. I think La Tech is going to be in this ball game from start to finish, Ben.
I would agree. I think there is an opportunity for La Tech to have success. Joe, you mentioned the defense for Missouri last year. Do you know how bad they were in terms of their total yardage given up? They were atrocious a season ago. I'm finding this specific number for you right now because it was miserable for Missouri last year. Everybody would gash the Tigers. Nearly 440 yards given up in total. Tennessee, not much better, by the way, 441, but Tennessee is going to be able to score enough to make up for it. And Missouri's rushing defense was one of the worst in the country as well. It's a big spread. They got to win by 3 touchdowns at the very least. We'll wrap up the show here on Football Full Circle up next by looking at a continuous peek at college football starting in 2022 here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We wrap up Football Full Circle today on the eve of week one of college football. The 2022 regular season fully underway as we are about to begin week number one. Yes, week zero happened. We love week zero. But week one means even that much more. Ranked teams in action tomorrow night, Lisi. We have broken down pretty much all of the Thursday slate. We'll continue to do that tomorrow, adding in some of the Friday games as well. But Joe, if there's a game, as we said, for 5 straight days of college football, starting tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even on Monday, is there an under-the-radar game you're looking forward to the most?
It's Coastal Carolina and Army, believe it or not. Yeah. It's a 7 o'clock game on Saturday. I really want to watch that matchup with Grayson McCall. Line open up at 4. They immediately bet it down to 2.5. We're going to cover it on Saturday. But that's one of the games that I'm looking at. I think a contrast in styles, whichever team can dictate tempo will win. That's one of the games I'm looking at, Ben. So it's a great slate of action, and that's a game I'm definitely going to be tuned in at 7, 7:30 Saturday night.
The Mullets and the Cadets. Talk about a contrast of styles. Coastal wants to score and score and score and score, and Grayson McCall is going to throw the ball all over the yard. Last year, Lisi, my belief was two things from a team total perspective. Coastal Carolina team total overs, Georgia's opponent team total unders, and both were very, very successful. We will see how that goes against the triple option offense that is the Army Knights. All right, Joe. As we get ready for this college football season, we are going to be breaking everything down here on Football Full Circle. But it doesn't just stop here with Lisi and myself. Saturdays, as we have said, the newly revamped College Football Today, each and every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, bringing you live up until game coverage. Lisi, we're going to be in person on Saturday tomorrow. I can't wait.
Oh, the mothership doesn't get better than this, Ben.
In-person shows, folks. Sports Grid is back. College football is back. All of it is back. And we are back tomorrow to preview week one of the CFB season. Up next, it's the Moneyline here on Sports Grid Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.